I wonder if any of you can relate to this statement that sometimes you experience something in life and you didn't realize what you were missing until after you experienced it. A week or two ago, I talked about being at the ocean for the first time, and I was pretty old for experiencing the ocean at the first time. I was in college, and that was one of those examples where I'd heard about the ocean, I knew that there was an ocean, but until you actually see it for yourself and swim and experience it, you don't realize how much you're missing until you've actually been there and been on the beach and explored the ocean. And then every year around this time of year, you really start to miss the ocean because you've experienced it. It's like, man, we got to get to the beach. Flying in an airplane was another example. I didn't fly until I was in college. My first flight ever was with a friend of mine who was working on his pilot's license in a little plane that I think was put together with a Rector set. And somehow I survived that experience, and it allowed me to be brave enough to get on a real jet plane. And I'll be honest, even now, I don't love flying. I don't love the process. I don't love being at airports. But there's something to say about getting on a plane and landing somewhere in a few hours that will have taken you over a day to drive to. And once you experience that piece of it, it's like, man, I could get used to that, right? There's little things like this that we could give examples of. I like to cook, and there's certain spices that I found that I couldn't cook without them now. They go in, a little bit of it goes into just about everything. There's certain foods that we eat, and we're like, man, where's this been my whole life, right? Coffee. My coffee's cold now. It's still better than no coffee at all. All right. Sometimes we experience things like this and we're like, well, once you experience, you don't realize what you've been missing. In a much greater sense, in my life, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life and upon my life is an example of this. Where once I began to experience a new relationship with the Holy Spirit, a fullness of that relationship. And trust me, I got a long ways to go in growing in that relationship. But once I began to experience that, there was part of me that thought, where has this been my whole life? I didn't realize what I was missing in my faith journey until after I started having some of these experiences. It's affected my prayer life, the conversations that I'm able to have with the Lord, and I know that may sound kind of bizarre, but that's the truest way that I could speak to it, the ways that I can begin to discern the work of the Lord in my life, the types of ministry that I now am involved in, and the giftings that are required for that ministry, certain experiences that I've had of the Lord, where you just know and feel that the Lord's at work here, that the Lord's at work in me, an intimacy with the Lord that I never realized was possible, that at times I now experience because of the work of the Spirit in my life. Even in preparing for sermons, probably on a consistent basis, on a week-to-week basis, that's where I experience the work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, you may have an impression of my sermons that may not paint a glory to God when I tell you that the Spirit's at work in that. But I can tell you that there's been certain weeks where, because of the week, I've come to Saturday or Sunday morning and had little prepared. And some of those sermons have been the ones that, in response, I think the Lord's done the most work with, because I've had to rely fully on the Spirit to help form and shape the words. And certainly there's ebbs and flows in our lives. And many of you would have received an email that I sent out earlier this week, just asking you to share with me a sentence or two testimony of how the Holy Spirit works in your life, how you've given evidence of that and testimony to that. And so I'm going to be weaving your testimonies in with the sermon throughout this morning, because I don't want you to just hear from me this morning. I want you to hear from one another. And when I sent that email out, I promised that I would do my best to keep these anonymous, although I don't know that any of you care. So I will try to do that. But the first line I want to share with you is this. My journey toward Christ has led me into a more intimate knowledge of the Holy Spirit. His presence in my life has been transformative. I cannot imagine my life today without the guidance, counsel, and comfort of the Spirit within me. I mean, what an incredible testimony. Someone who grew up in the church, who's had a long-standing faith journey, and yet over the last several years is able to use words like transformative. I don't know what I would do in my life without the work of the Spirit. That's substantial. Another one I received: the Holy Spirit gives me discernment in circumstances, helps me to know how to pray more effectively for people, is giving me a new awareness when I feel a certain way or react to something in a certain way. The Spirit helps me to know that perhaps there's something deeper within me that God wants to work on and do in my life because of those circumstances. Here's another one. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit guides me and comforts me, knows my heart in the deepest places, sometimes more than I ever know myself. I was reminded lately, as I grasped for answers or guarantees, that God's Spirit has something better for me. The Spirit encouraged me that though I sometimes seek an encyclopedia with all the right answers, sometimes God instead wants to share a love poem with me. Sitting at God's feet and basking in God's love and loving Him, praising Him for His goodness. How wonderful to be loved unconditionally, wisely, and forever. The intimacy that that testimony speaks to, that this person experiences with the Lord because of the work of the Spirit in their life. My prayer for our time this morning is that God will awaken in me, that God will awaken in each of you, that God will awaken in this congregation, perhaps even in this community around us, a thirst for a deeper experience of the Spirit's involvement in our lives. And so in many ways, this morning is a preparation, a sermon prep for next Sunday, when we gather together to celebrate Pentecost, an event that took place a couple hundred years ago, where the Holy Spirit came and brought a new era into the life of the early Christian church. But Pentecost is a significant holy day. It's right up there, in my opinion, with Christmas and Easter and Pentecost, because in all of these days that we celebrate, there's something new that God is doing in the world, and something new that still speaks to us today. And so I already mentioned next Sunday we'll have our regular 10:30 service, and we'll build upon today's theme. And then next Sunday evening at 5:30, we're going to provide a space here for folks to just come and open ourselves with this thirst for more and see how the Lord may want to meet that thirst. And so I hope that you'll come and join us next Sunday evening, because I believe that God desires to do something new. Something new in each of us at a personal level, and something new in this congregation. And when God desires to bring about a new work, there is a special equipping, a special filling of the Holy Spirit, an empowering that often comes with that new call. And so we come to prepare our hearts for our own Pentecost. That sense of newness was spoken to in another testimony I received. Some thoughts on the intervention of the Holy Spirit these days in my life. First of all, hang on. And I think that's a great prayer. Holy Spirit, help me hang on. Change is inevitable. It isn't a new thing. So try to embrace it rather than to drag our feet kicking and screaming. Whether it be automobiles or robots or technology in general, it's disrupted the way things have done, and yet God is still in charge. And I pray that the fruit of the Spirit will prevail. And we'll come back to that idea of the fruits of the Spirit in a few moments. But I just wonder if you with me will join as we bow our heads and open our hearts in asking the Holy Spirit to come speak to us in new ways here this morning. Let's pray. We do ask, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Not that you're here because you are already, but that you would raise our awareness of how you're here. How you are here within us and among us. And how you desire to work through us. transforming us within, as well as equipping us and empowering us to live a life of service to you. And so I ask that you bless this time, and I do ask, Holy Spirit, that these words would be yours. Words transformed by you, that they would be the very word of Christ himself, spoken to us on this day. And we ask all of this in Christ's powerful name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning that's why cold coffee is better than no coffee at all. Our scripture reading this morning comes from John chapter 14. I'll be reading beginning at verse 25. Correction. No, that is correct. No, it's not. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So a few words about this passage. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. If you look at John chapter 13, and especially verse 34, it's when Jesus, having washed the disciples' feet, says to them, I give you a new commandment, that you would love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And in the same way that I talked about obeying God's commandments last week, that sometimes we can kind of become overwhelmed by this list of things that we have in our mind, this checklist of do this, don't do this. And this is what obedience looks like. I would just encourage you in this passage that while that may be true in aspects of our life, what oftentimes Scripture really wants us to cling to and what Christ's teachings really wanting us to be driven by is this idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And in John chapter 13, Jesus makes this transition where he's calling the disciples to love one another, and this is how they're to serve God and others out of this loving spirit. And so I believe a lot of this passage is connected in that way. That the advocate that would come is coming to help us love one another. And let's talk about this advocate. The word there is paraclete. And the most basic definition of that word is one who's called to the side in order to help. And so depending on what translation of Scripture you use, you'll see the word translated advocate like we have here. Another word often used is helper or counselor, sometimes comforter. But it's one who comes alongside us to help us. Here's another testimony. I've been pondering this to try to find a way to express my experience. This week, I went to the Lord in prayer to ask about my thorn in the flesh. This is these things that are struggles that just kind of remain in our lives that we get frustrated by. It says, the Lord told me that he was not going to remove it from me, but that he loves me and he will give me strength to live with it. He keeps reminding me that when I feel dejected, that he is with me. As I talk with others who are experiencing trials, it's reassuring when they tell me the same. That God sends little joys into our lives to let us know that he loves us and is with us. And this is what helps me grow closer to him day by day. that he loves us, that he's with us. This helper, this advocate, the Holy Spirit comes and helps us experience, comes alongside us, helps us experience the presence of the Lord, the presence of Jesus in our lives. And this advocate will come, and the word used in this translation right before that, another advocate. Well, that word another has some special nuances in it in and of itself as well. Because it really means that one like me will come to you. One of the same kind as me. And so it's not the sense of there's another person coming who's very different than I am. It's there's another person coming who is very much like me and, in fact, of the same kind as me. Well, in 1 John 2:1, it speaks of Jesus as the advocate with the Father. It speaks of Jesus, uses the same word, Jesus, as our advocate to the Father. And in that context, it's talking about our sins. That if we would have happened to sin, know this, that we have one in Jesus Christ who's an advocate to the Father on our behalf. And so there's this sense in this passage that Jesus is saying to the disciples, look, I've been your advocate here on earth. I'm going to be going to heaven where I will then step into my role as being your advocate to the Father on the throne. But you're not going to be alone because I'm sending to you one that is like me to be your advocate here on earth. And that is the Holy Spirit. And so one of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to be an advocate with us like Jesus is an advocate with us, so that we can experience the way Jesus is coming alongside us, so that we can experience the way Jesus is advocating for us in heaven even now. And so the ministry of the Spirit brings us into the presence and ministry of Christ himself. This testimony speaks to that. Because of the healing care ministry in our church, I was directed to find a safe place with Jesus. And this is just a way that a lot of us are learning to spend time in prayer and contemplation, where we imagine ourselves in a place where we're completely safe from the rest of the world, and then we invite Jesus to come and be with us in that space. Says, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that safe place was found, and I go there daily with the Spirit's direction. Last week, I met Jesus in my safe place. He met up with me with such joy at seeing me. We held hands, and we were standing facing each other. And in those moments, there was a wonderful feeling of being known and being understood. And my response to this encounter was to lean my head on Jesus' shoulder and say, I love you. It was a very wonderful time of intimacy and joy. The Holy Spirit as our advocate coming alongside us in very real and practical ways and helping us experience the love and joy and intimacy that we can have in our relationship with Christ. Well, there's a transition that's happening that John's speaking to that actually becomes true at Pentecost of the way that the ministry of the Holy Spirit works in the lives of God's followers. You see, in the Old Testament, as you read through the Old Testament, you will see moments where the Holy Spirit comes upon people and empowers those people and fills them for a specific task or a specific type of ministry that they're being led into. And before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit might be with people or in people, but this would be a temporary experience. The Holy Spirit would come upon them for that task and then would be removed. But you see, after Pentecost, the experience of the Holy Spirit within us and upon us is something that's not taken and removed. It says, the advocate will be with you forever. So we have a way of experiencing the ministry of the Spirit today that those in the Old Testament didn't have available to them. Because it's at Pentecost the Spirit comes and breaks into the world to be within each and every follower and believer in Jesus Christ. Moving on, verse 17, moving on, it says, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him." You know him. And why do you know him? Because the Spirit abides with you, and the Spirit will be in you. We know him in Jesus Christ, who came and said that we would be baptized by the water and the Spirit. We know him because Jesus came so that we could begin to experience Christ, experience a relationship with the Lord. And there's certain ways that we can begin to experience our relationship with God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And what I really want to focus on for just a few moments is this idea of the Spirit abiding with you and in you. Because I believe this speaks to both an outer work of the Spirit and an inner work of the Spirit. Now, some of you that have been we're going to the Sunday school class this winter and spring. We're talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This will be a little bit of a repeat from some of that. But this is a distinction that's pretty new to me in my understanding of how the Spirit works. And it's been really helpful that the Holy Spirit is seeking to work both inside us and is seeking to be with us, an outer work. Let's first focus for a minute on the inside work, because the Spirit will be in you. This speaks to, for example, our salvation, how the Holy Spirit prepares our hearts, draws us into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It speaks to our sanctification process, which is everything that then happens within us as the Lord moves us towards our ultimate glorification, when we will be as Christ is, fully renewed. This inner work speaks to all of the re-words that we attribute to how the Spirit's working within us. Our rebirth, our regeneration, our renewal, our restoration, our recreation. That it's the Holy Spirit working within us that's helping bring about this inner transformation. Now, I want to just highlight a few passages that speaks to this. And I believe each of these passages could be a great meditation for you this week as we prepare our hearts for Pentecost. Ezekiel 36, there's a prophecy where Ezekiel says, "There will be a day when we will receive a new heart and a new spirit." And then in chapter 37, verse 14, it says, "And that spirit will be within you." Now, you may already know that the context of those passages is in that prophetic vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. And Ezekiel has this vision of all of these bones, withered, dried, in a valley, lifeless. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes I feel like I'm in that valley. Sometimes I feel like the life has been sucked out of me. And yet there's this vision of a renewal that can take place, a rebirth of passion. And the Spirit comes and brings life to those bones. And then Ezekiel has this vision and this word, "And like that, the Spirit will be within you, coming to bring life into each of us." In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes and speaks to Jesus. And in the process of that is where we learn another time that we will be born both of water and spirit. That there is a spiritual rebirth, a baptism in the Spirit that is to take place in each of our lives. And as Nicodemus and Jesus kind of work this out, we see that it's this spiritual rebirth that will open our eyes to see heavenly things, will open us to the ways that the kingdom of God is at work around us. And so part of this inner working of the Spirit is to help work within us and open our eyes to the way that God's at work around us. And this is an incredible gift to us because it no longer allows us to interpret things in the events of life and what's going on around us through earthly eyes, but it says to us, you'll have spiritual eyes and you can begin to see how God's at work in and around you, in our community, in the events that happen in the world. It can open our eyes to see the kingdom of God at work. And that's important as we, in a few moments, transition into the outer work of the Spirit. Romans 8 is an incredible passage filled with all kinds of great practical theology for us. But it's a passage that talks about what it's like to experience life in the Spirit when we are in tuned to the way that the Holy Spirit's at work within us. It's in that passage that we learn it's the Spirit that helps us cry out, Abba, Father, that intimacy that we so desire to have with God. It's the inner work of the Spirit that's bringing that about in our lives. That passage where we can become more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, that it's the inner work of the Spirit that comes alongside us as our advocate to help us conquer the things that the world throws at us in the sin and brokenness of our lives. It's Romans 8 that reminds us that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from God's love. It's Romans 8 that I believe, as you read through that, we can begin to see that the Holy Spirit's inner work in our lives is where all of our core longings can begin to be met and experienced in God. That sense of belonging, of purpose, to love and be loved, of being understood, significance and security. All of those things that each of us most desires out of this life, it's the work of the Holy Spirit within us that can help us begin to experience those being met by God. A couple more testimonies from you all. I've been learning to walk in the Spirit. For me, this has been about freedom from living according to the law and freedom from living according to people's expectations of me. So it's not about the law. It's not about what others expect. It's about being in tune and walking in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has impressed on me how He desires that I be free to follow Him. There is also a power and a supernatural courage that I sense the Holy Spirit wanting to impart to me. I really want to be free to follow and obey the Spirit rather than caving to all kinds of pressure to do otherwise. Here's another passage testimony that speaks to this inner working of the Spirit. I was once uncertain about God's presence. And then I was diagnosed with cancer. And a friend said to me, you have to hand this worry off to God. This stress empowers the cancer. So that night, I did just that. I gave it to God. And I let God handle it all. And God walked with me, and I felt very differently. I was comforted with His presence, but I also felt like I was healing. And after my surgery, the doctor said, something changed from your diagnosis to now. The tumor was much less invasive and was smaller than we saw initially. And all I can tell you is that God changed your outcome. All those people in the waiting room that were praying for you, and I saw them, it was powerful. From then on, I've known and felt God's presence. Through everything, God is with me. What an incredible testimony of the work of the Spirit. And we haven't even gotten to passages like Galatians 5 that speaks to the fruits of the Spirit, the things that flow out of the inner work of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. How many of you feel like there's some of those that you could use a little bit more of? Well, what this passage tells us is the way to experience those things in our life is to allow the work of the Spirit within us. And not just on occasion, but in our day-to-day lives. Another testimony, in the past year, I found that focusing every day, an hour and second on the Spirit and on Jesus, for me, it's a necessity to focus on the Spirit. And not saying that that's easy, but well worth the effort, because I'm able to see the good in the work of the Holy Spirit, and also I'm able to see the good in the people around me and at the situation at that time. I've learned to be able to love when before it was almost impossible to even attempt to endure some of these situations. And so for my growth, it has been through experiencing the Holy Spirit more and more that I'm able to grow in trust of the Lord. These are all testimonies of how the Spirit's at work within us. But I also believe this passage speaks to how the Spirit will be at work on the outside as the Spirit abides with us. And I especially think that this outer work comes to us so that we can be involved and connected with mission and ministry and worship. With mission, as we witness and give testimony to God, as Acts 1:8 says, that we will receive power so that we can be witnesses to God in the world. We see this throughout Acts, that the Spirit comes, and when people are testifying to the Lord, are sharing the gospel, the Spirit shows up and gives testimony to that message. Jesus even promised us, and this promise is throughout Scripture, that when we speak out in faith, that the Holy Spirit will come and provide words. Give us a testimony. So the Spirit comes upon us in special ways to help us carry out God's mission to the world. I believe the Spirit comes upon us in special ways for ministry. This is where the spiritual gifts come into play. That the Spirit comes and empowers us with certain giftings that help us to love the Lord and love others, to serve the Lord and serve others. It helps bring unity among us, to allow us to grow into the body of Christ, to have a spiritual maturity, to live our lives in ways that positively impact the world around us. Another testimony from one of you. I started a Bible group at work to meet as a group to learn God's word so that we could feel God's presence among us. And it has been so awesome to see others being moved by God's word. I know that we're pleasing our Father, and I feel so much peace inside me every time we meet. That's how I know the Spirit's at work with me. Now, have you, any of you ever been at work and thought, I wonder what it would look like to start a Bible study here? Ooh, that's scary. And yet this is a calling that God placed on this individual's life, and stepping into that in faith, he's seeing and experiencing the Spirit come upon him in that time, in that way, so that now the folks there are being blessed by that, are being drawn closer to one another in the Lord. The Spirit has empowered with that gift. Another testimony, my recent and continuing experiences with our Chinese friends are certainly evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in my life, as well as in the lives of others. Perhaps to say that experiencing the excitement and joy at sharing Scripture with people from another culture for whom English is not the native language would be less specific. I'm contrasting their background with my own, which was a strong family tradition of worshiping regularly, of participating in Bible study and mission projects. Rather than what I might easily take for granted and view as just a normal part of life, I know that the Spirit continues to work to open my heart to a much deeper meaning and significance in Scripture and in the relationships with individuals whose heritage does not include an experience or even an exposure to the good news of Jesus Christ. So that's an example of the Spirit empowering this person, but also the Spirit using this Bible study in this context that's new and different, and using those from other cultures and backgrounds to grow this person's faith. Incredible testimonies of how when we come together, the Spirit can come and be involved and minister to us and help us minister to one another. And finally, I think that the Spirit comes upon us to help us in our worship. Ephesians 5:18 says that we're to be filled with the Spirit as we go about singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to God in our hearts. And I know that speaking in tongues is one of those things that for a lot of us is just kind of like, that's something that all those weird Pentecostals do. It's not for us. We're Presbyterians. But I can tell you some very meaningful experiences I've had in my life when folks have come and prayed over me in tongues, and I've just felt this incredible presence and peace come over me because the Spirit had empowered them with this gift that they then used to minister to me. My first experience of that was in college, and I was like, what is going on right now? But God used that to bring this incredible peace at a time in my life where I was in chaos. And for a lot of people, that gives them a prayer language that they're then able to use in their prayer and communication with the Lord. It's not a scary thing. It's just a peaceful experience that they have to pray and have this intimacy with the Lord. Now, that's a lot. And that just begins to scratch the surface of the ways that the Holy Spirit desires to minister to us. Now, there's a couple things I want us to understand. First, that this is about experience and not just knowledge. We can come in here every week and talk about all the ways the Spirit wants to minister and learn an incredible amount and never experience it. I knew about the ocean. That was very different than when I experienced it for the first time. I've not yet been to the Grand Canyon. Someday I hope to go. I know a fair amount about it, and I've seen a lot of pictures. Something tells me when I experience it in person, it's going to be incredibly different than what I know about it. I've never seen the Rockies. I've never been in Colorado. I know about them. I'm going to have the opportunity to do that in October for a training event. And I can't wait to get out there and allow my own eyes to experience the beauty. And every time someone talks about the beauty of the mountains and the Rockies, that thirst grows more and more. And what I'm hoping for us this morning, that as you hear over a dozen testimonies from our own people about how the Holy Spirit's working in their lives, that that'll begin to develop within us a deeper thirst for more of that. To say, hey, I want that. Because here's the second point. This is for all believers. Especially the inner work of the Spirit is a common journey for all of us. It's going to look differently. It's going to feel differently. But the inner transformation of our lives towards the fullness of all we've been created in Christ is something that the Holy Spirit desires to do in each and every one of us. And it's a part of our journey of faith. And this outer work, I believe, is a promise that Jesus gives us as well. But it's connected to how we're stepping out in faith, in ministry, in mission, in worship. And it's going to vary on the body part within the body that we are individually. It's going to vary on our mission. It's going to vary on our context. It's going to vary on our culture. It's going to vary on the particular calling that God has for us. But within that, when God is calling us, there will be an empowering of the Spirit that will come upon us that will enable us to live into that calling. And it may look differently for all of us, but the promise is there that when the Lord puts something on your heart and you sense the Lord saying, step into this, that the Spirit will come upon us and empower us for that. And I will say this, I've never in my life or within ministry been called into a particular type of ministry, and there's been times when I'm like, oh, nope, not today, Lord, oh, nope. But in stepping in faith into that calling, there's never been a time when the Spirit hasn't come and given me that which I needed to live into that calling. I would also say that there's a way that we can position ourselves to participate in this work. Paul tells us in Ephesians, do not quench the Spirit, which means that there is a way that we can quench the Spirit. There is a way in our choices that we can keep the Spirit from doing the things in our lives that the Spirit desires to do. And so we want to have an openness to participate with the Spirit, and we'll be talking more about that in the next week. But I leave you with this. Might it all begin with a thirst. As you hear this message today, as you hear these dozens of ways that the Spirit comes and works in our lives, what thirst is beginning to grow within you? In what way do you desire an experience of more of the Holy Spirit upon your life? And yes, we should be reading the scriptures. We should be praying for that. We should be saying, Holy Spirit, more. We want to fan that flame that's within us. We want to begin to prepare our hearts for whatever type of Pentecost the Spirit wants to bring to us. And I believe in this week to come, together, collectively, we can position ourselves with an openness to say, come, Holy Spirit, do a work anew. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Ask the Lord, ask the Spirit, in what ways do you want to bring a freshness into my life and journey in the faith with you? Let's spend a few moments in prayer. I'm sensing in these moments that perhaps the Spirit wants to fall upon some of us today in a few unique ways. Not necessarily unique, but just meaningful. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I first ask you in a special and meaningful way to send your Spirit upon the mothers and grandmothers in this space and our parents in general. Because, Lord, we know that to parent is a holy calling. And when you've called us into this, you promise us that you will give us the power to live into this calling. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask now that you fall upon the parents and grandparents in this space, empowering them to live into this calling in a way that brings glory to you, in a way that equips them to provide for their children all that they need, all that they seek to experience, the love, the attachment, the security, all of those things that they need. I also know, Lord, that there are both biological parents, and then there are many of us that step into the roles of parents just because of the things we do in our daily lives. Whether that's because we're friends, because we're teachers, because you've put us in positions where we have children around us that need love, that need to be cared for, that need to experience you. And so I pray, Jesus, that you will send your Spirit to fall upon these individuals and empower them to live into that call, so that when they are among these kids, your love will flow through them and into these children. I also know, Lord, that on a day like today, when we rightfully celebrate the mothers in this world, that for some of us that can be a bit painful too. Perhaps because the relationship with our own moms isn't or wasn't what we would have hoped it to be. Or because the current relationships we have with our kids are not what we hoped them to be. Or perhaps we had dreams of becoming a mom that have not become a reality. And there's disappointment and sadness in that. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, as the advocate, that you would come alongside anyone in this space that is experiencing those feelings and bring comfort and bring peace and bring a sense of your loving presence into their lives. And I pray, Lord, that in this week to come, that whatever fire is beginning to be sparked in each of us, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fan that flame. That as a congregation, we would together say to you, Holy Spirit, come. We want more of you, more of your work, more experiences of your presence, more of your empowering to live into all that you're calling us to be. Meet us in this place, Lord. We ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.